in the night. Your heart fills with dread, probably a murderer who wants you dead. It could be a ghost, a demon, or worse. Perhaps you're the victim of a witch's curse. It's hopeless, you're doomed. You'd call a priest if you could. You'd rather just listen to who? Sinister Who?
Hello and welcome to Freaky Friday, where we tell your odd but true stories. It is Friday, March 15th, and for some, I'm sure it's the last day of spring break.
You guessed. Is this the Ides of March?
It's the Ides of March. It is. Also,
is it March 15th, the Ides of March?
Yes, it is. It is. Et tu, Brute. It is the Ides of
March. Oh, everybody watch your back.
Don't get stabbed by your best friend.
I hope not.
Nah, never. We would never stab one another. We would stab other people together if necessary. I'm not saying we want to go do it, but I'm saying if it had to happen, if someone's fucking with you, I'll do it. I would do
it. Thank you. Same.
So just aggressive so fast.
I mentioned Shakespeare, and immediately people started dying.
That's Shakespeare for you, baby.
That is. Yes.
Oh, well, man.
But this Friday, we hope. There's no Shakespearean tragedy.
No.
And it's all just spring break vibes, if that's what you're doing.
Yes, I hope if it is for all of our educators and people with kids in school and stuff out there, I hope you had a wonderful spring break, or it might be next week. Who's to say? People pick whatever they want wherever they are. They do. So regardless of what you're doing, don't get stabbed, and happy Friday.
I had to explain why we sprung forward with the time the other day to Ella.
How was that?
It just ended with me saying, time's all made up. I don't understand. It doesn't matter. It's really 9 o'clock right now. That's what I'm trying to tell you. It's not 8 o'clock. I know you think it is, but it's 9. It's fucking confusing for all of us.
So confusing. It comes like
and
a thief in the
do
night.
Do away with it. Yes. Do away with it already.
Just leave it. Wherever we're at right now, we just all got to vote and go, we're good. Shut it down. Right now, whatever we're at
one
right now.
One time.
We're Gucci.
For all.
One time that for sound, all time.
Sounds like a Shakespearean play.
That's true.
One time for all and for all. One time.
And we, oh, yes, we concur. And that's how things were passed back then.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of having all the, you know, laws and stuff we have now. Boring. They just would declare it. And that's called a dictatorship. I'm realizing we don't want that. Shut it down. Bad idea. Never mind.
But if we all vote together
then it works.
To do something, then that's a democracy. So we just have to, as one person, I'm going to tell everybody else what I would like all of you to do. Uh-oh, wait a minute.
Here we are
We're
again.
Back to the dictatorship.
You're like, it doesn't count as a dictatorship if I'm a judge in charge. And like,
true.
Somehow it still does. General, judge, regardless, I think.
If I was put in any type of office where I could make a decision, mm-hmm. my first one would be no more daylight savings.
They're like, Your Honor, this is called the Quit Fucking with the Clocks Act. And yes, it is.
And it's being passed ASAP.
I will sign it when it hits my desk. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Well, I hope the time change hasn't fucked all y'all up too much because it wrecked me. I fell asleep at 1:45 and then I was only asleep for a half hour and woke up at 3:15 and was like, where am I? What is it?
AM or PM?
It was AM and it was because it was at the time change time. I fell asleep right before the time changed it too. So I looked at my phone and it was like 1:45 and I was like, I'll doze off on the couch and then I'll go to bed in a minute. I woke up and all of a sudden it was 3:15 and I was like, where have I been?
You literally lost time.
Happened. Yeah, I told you it was stolen like a thief in the night. Well, you have gathered such a collection of stories today. We've got wild brushes with true crime to heartwarming signs from the beyond.
There's several very heartwarming ones in this Friday's episode. So thank you to everybody that contributed and thank you to everybody that's listening. We all contribute in our own ways, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Heather, for showing up to record this with me.
Hey, thank you for picking them. We're all here. You know, we all play our roles. We all play our roles here on the Ides of March.
There are no small roles, only small actors.
That's all. Shakespeare said that too.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm on one today with old Billy Shakes. What I call him.
He loves it too.
Billy Shakes? Oh, he's shaking in his grave right now.
Mm-hmm. William was my father. Call me Billy Shakes.
Well, I'm Christy.
I'm Heather Shakes.
And let's get freaky. This first one is from Corey, and it is called The Time I Was Almost Kidnapped Twice in the Same Day. Hey, ladies, I've been listening for years and love the show. As a woman raised in Oklahoma and Texas, now that I live on the East Coast, listening to you two talk brings me a taste of home. I've always wanted to submit this story, as I think this may have been what sparked my interest in true crime. Anyway, with the fangirling out of the way, let's get into it. A slight background to the story. At the time, my family was living in a suburb of Houston, Texas, and we lived within walking distance of the town's singular junior high. My first day of seventh grade, my mom had taken my younger brother and I out to breakfast before I walked to the junior high while my mom drove my brother to his school. The walk to the junior high took me along a big, busy road with small roads offshooting. I had made this walk many times over the summer going to the local public library, so I was familiar with the path. Before coming to the intersection that I would need to cross to get to the road the school was on, I saw a car at a stop sign appearing to turn onto the larger road. I stopped, waiting for them to turn, but instead, the woman driving rolled down the window and asked if I needed a ride to school. Specifically, those words. This was in the early 2000s, and we had the obligatory stranger danger assemblies in school, so I simply said no and kept going. The first day of seventh grade was going to be stressful enough. I did not want to get in trouble with my parents for accepting a ride from a woman I didn't know. So I went about my day and thought nothing of my early morning encounter. In fact, I had nearly forgotten that the interaction had even happened. The school day ended and I began my walk home. I made it to the exact stop sign as the morning and realized that the car that had been there was there again. Weird, but I tried to tell myself that it was nothing, until I got closer and saw that the same woman was driving. She rolled down the window to talk to me again. "Do you need a ride home?" was her first question. I told her that my house wasn't far and that I was fine to walk, but thanks anyway. She seemed to be annoyed by this answer, and proceeded to tell me that she was just looking out for me because it was a busy road and that she had been worried about me all day. I didn't know how to respond, so I just said, "I'm fine," and almost home. I took off running and hauled ass through an empty field that led to the apartments that we lived in at the time. I saw her turn onto the main road and then flip a bitch to turn back down the side road she had been waiting on. When I got home, I was beet red and huffing. So when I finally caught my breath, I told my mom and our neighbor what had happened that day. My mom immediately called the police, and two officers came by and took my statement, including a description of the woman and her car, both of which I can remember to this day more than 20 years later. The cops told my mom that they would keep a patrol car in the area, but more than likely, the woman was spooked by my running off and wouldn't be there anymore. I'd like to tell you that they were right, but the next day, my mom decided she was going to drive me to school, and that we were going to take the side roads most of the way there just to be safe. And sure enough, on that same side road was that car. My mom dropped me at school and called the cops again. They let the school know, and the school resource officer waited with me until after school, until my mom came to get me. She spent the rest of the first semester driving me to and from school. We didn't see the car again after the second day of school, but my mom wanted to be sure. And honestly, so did I. I don't know who the woman was or why she wanted to talk to me, but something in me knew then that she wouldn't have taken me to school or home. I can still remember exactly what she and her car looked like, down to the frog sticker decal in the rear windshield. From then on, stories of abductions and other crimes have always caught my attention. Thank you for taking the time to read this, and thank you for telling the stories you do.
Well, yeah, the coming back the second day or coming back the second time in one day was because the first one you could write off and go like, oh, well, maybe it's just a nice person. The kid looked like they were struggling. But then it was like, I waited for you all day.
I've been thinking about you all day.
Go on.
No, that's why. Why you, a stranger that I've never spoken to? Why have you been thinking about me all day?
Yeah, and it's not like Corey was like, well, I had my, one of my legs was in a cast and I was dragging it behind me as I was walking. Yeah. I mean, it's just like a kid's walking to school. It's what, it don't add up. It's like, you try your bullshit with somebody else because it's not adding up with me. But good on Corey for being like, I remember that frog decal.
Right. And also for paying attention in those assemblies, the stranger danger assemblies of like, don't talk to strangers. Adults don't need help from kids. Don't. If somebody wants you to come over to their car and talk to them, don't do it. Like,
run the opposite direction of the car.
Snatched into a car. Yeah. I don't have a good feeling about this. I think, Corey, you definitely made the right call, as especially coming back later that day and then even there the next day.
Yeah, the next day is like, to me, not, oh, I was passing through. Like I said, if the first time I could maybe excuse it as just like a naively helpful person who doesn't realize they're being uncomfortable. But the waiting around and then especially lingering and like, what are you, stalking out another victim? Or are you waiting for me specifically or just anybody that's walking by themselves? So I'm glad the cops. I thought whenever Corey said, and we drove by, my mom saw that car again, it was going to be like, she pulled over and knocked on her window.
Damn.
But you never know who might be waiting, you know, in the back seat.
I think... We always say, like, what would you do? What are you going to do? Mm-mm. Like, I mean, you did the right thing by calling the cops.
Sure.
And because who knows what that was about. It sounds like she was just looking for somebody.
Yeah.
And Corey happened to walk by twice. But to be there again, I don't know. And you know that's a way that kids walk to school. Mm-mm. I'm always very suspicious, too, if it's like a woman by herself saying something like that, because that's not very typical. And I think, what man saying to do this?
I'm always like, is there a man in your back seat with a knife?
Yeah.
Who's back?
Or you're out
take
like,
her back?
Yeah, you're doing the bidding for somebody else because you're also under duress, or maybe you're also part of it, you know?
Yeah.
So
that was a story that I think came out of, I believe it was Houston recently. It was somewhere else in Texas, not in Dallas. And it was a grift where a woman in the parking lot was trying to get children to help crawl under her car and help her get her debit card that she dropped. Mm-mm. And this person was telling her TikTok story, but then also had an article from the local news that said, you know, police said, be alert that this is going on. But it's just that sort of weird thing of like, oh, could you help me find my debit card? It's like, I'll go inside and, you know, get like a clerk to come out and help you because you're on their property. They'll come help you. But like, you don't need my 8-year-old to be climbing down and getting your debit card for you under your car and then having a second car pull up and like block the mom's car in, kind of thing, where you're like, who's, what are y'all working? I'm not being too paranoid. What are you doing?
Oh, no. I tell Ella, and starting to tell Simon now that he understands more, like, adults don't need help from kids. If, you know, I mean, like, granted, there might be an outstanding circumstance, and if that's the case, then we got other problems. But for stuff like that, they don't need you. And if they're asking, like, just say no. Just don't worry about it. Don't worry about being in trouble or hurting anybody's feelings. Like, you don't owe anybody anything.
That's a good way to go. I mean, truly, though.
It's anybody anything.
What are you going to have a 6-year-old go, can you give me directions? Like, bitch, use your phone. Why are you asking her? She doesn't know what street she lives on.
No.
So that's when it becomes sus. Of like, can you help me with this?
Use your phone that you have in the car and your GPS. Don't ask my kid where the park is.
No. To this day, I don't like to get approached by a rolling car when I'm out on my walks. But oftentimes, I'm on the phone with my mom or my friend Megan, or I'm listening to a podcast and I'm like, Siri, call mom. Like right away. But I was on the phone with my mom and some lady rolled by and was like, have you seen a French bulldog? And I was like, is this a kidnapping attempt? But it was not. She's like a neighborhood watch person. And she was like, everyone in the neighborhood knows me. And I was like, cool, man. I don't, but nice to meet you now. So I guess we have a neighborhood watch, which is a lady in a Subaru that just does laps. And I'm like, happy to have you, I guess.
More importantly, you got a neighborhood Frenchie. Which neighborhood needs. Did they find it? I hope so.
I hope they did. She said, I think a gate was left open, unfortunately. But she's hopefully it was like a pretty immediate response. But she was just out patrolling the streets. It wasn't even her dog. I was like, look at you.
That's who you need.
We need a
Not
Janice.
All heroes
or,
wear capes.
Yeah, Gladys, Janice. It was something like that. I was like, right on. All right. Thanks.
Well, thank you, Corey, for sending that in.
Sinisterhood will be right back. Helix Sleep is a premium mattress brand that provides tailored mattresses based on your unique sleep preferences.
My sleep preference right now is, well, is it my sleep preference? It's my kids' sleep preference. They both want to sleep in the bed. So, and the other day, Ella's like, your bed is so comfy. Y'all have the comfiest bed. I'm like, I know. She also has a Helix mattress.
You're like, you have a comfy bed, also, too.
It's mom and dad's bed, yeah. And it's much bigger. So, but the good thing is, everybody in the family enjoys it, which is great because sometimes we're all sleeping in it together.
Yeah, I was just telling somebody this weekend about how I love my Helix mattress and have ever since we got it. And they were like, I really have been needing to sleep better. I was like, get you a Helix, baby. It'll change everything.
The Helix lineup offers 20 unique mattresses, including a mattress designed for big and tall sleepers and even a mattress made just for kids. Ella loves her. I do too. Lay it on every night with her. Mm-hmm. Before she comes and gets in our bed, we lay on her Helix and then we go get in my Helix.
A Helix for every room. Helix knows there's no better way to test out a new mattress than by sleeping on it in your own home. That's why they offer a 100-night trial and a 10 to 15-year warranty for you and your child to try out your new Helix mattresses.
Every body is unique, so whether you're a side, back, or stomach sleeper, or maybe you're all of the above, Helix offers a mattress for you. Plus, it's starting to get warm. Mm-hmm. It's already feeling too warm here. Mm-hmm. So, very happy that Helix has the enhanced cooling features. I need to be regulated for mm-hmm. many reasons, and one of them is my body temperature, and mm-hmm. whatever the season, Helix has got me.
Oh, yeah. And the setup is fast and easy. Helix mattresses are delivered in a box straight to your door for free. And by supporting Helix, you're allowing them to support us and our show.
Helix is offering 20% off all mattress orders and two free pillows for our listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/creepy and use code HELIXPARTNER20. This is their best offer yet, and it won't last long. With Helix, better sleep starts now. This next one is from Aaron, and it is called, I Didn't Think It Would Happen to Me. Hi, ladies. You are amazing, hilarious, and so respectful with the way you go about sharing other people's stories. You're my favorite podcast, and I recommend you to everyone. You are also the reason I no longer feel the need to be polite to men that make me uncomfortable, which might have saved my life this morning. The other day, Thursday, I, a 29-year-old female, was driving down my street and about to pull into my driveway. There was a man walking on the road, which isn't uncommon on my street. He said, "Ma'am, ma'am." Being the informed and paranoid woman I am, I ignored him. Then he came up the steps into my yard. I was standing on my porch, and he asked if I needed help with the yard. I said, "No, thank you. We have a lawnmower." And I thought that was the end of it. The next day, I had to take my husband to the ER for a kidney stone and ended up staying with him in the hospital through the weekend. My parents were visiting at the time, which will be relevant in a minute. I got my husband home from the hospital on Sunday and spent some time with my parents. My mom and I went out to check the mail, and I found a handwritten note. I attached a photo for y'all. The note was dated the Friday after the man had asked if I needed help with the yard. It said, "Hello, what's up? I wanted to write a note and say that if you do have a boyfriend, my bad, or a husband, but I'm right across the street, I'm 41, and if you do happen to need your yard cared for, I got you. Even if you're struggling, I will do it for free. I'm cool, family-friendly, down to earth. No worries, okay? Very peaceful and very caring. So yeah, here's my number." He signed the note with his name, number, the word smile, and a Bible verse reference for Galatians 5:22. I didn't like the note one bit, and I wasn't happy that this man, who had previously followed me into my yard, knew where I lived. I thought it was over, but this morning, on Monday, I went to leave for work, and he was waiting for me in the dark on my porch. Who knows how long he'd been there. I started screaming at the top of my lungs for him to get off my property. My husband, still recovering from surgery, came running out of the bedroom and chased him away. We don't actually have a gun, but I screamed after him, "Next time we see you over here, we'll get the gun and we don't miss." Then I went to work, and he was standing in what I'm assuming was his front yard, smiling and waving to me as I drove away. Chilling. We called the non-emergency line and the police came out and we filed a report for harassment. I know it's not the last I'll see of him since he lives across the street. One of the things that scares me most is that he left the note when my car was the only one there. He didn't bother me at all while my parents' truck was parked outside. However, as soon as my parents left and there was no other car, my husband had left his at work when I had to take him to the ER and we hadn't picked it up yet, is when he decided to wait for me on my porch. I pray to God that I don't have an update for y'all. After work, my husband and I are going out to get cameras and a new alarm system, as well as pepper spray for me. Stay safe out there and always look through the peephole before you go outside. Aaron. And for everyone wondering, if you don't know, Galatians 5:22 reads, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law."
There is a law against harassment, and self-control would be staying the fuck off of a porch that's not yours. That's Heather McKinney, 10:28. That's my verse. Stay the fuck off my porch. Are you kidding? This is why I put King Arthur, my gargoyle, up on my porch.
Is he here?
Oh, he's here, baby.
He's arrived. I haven't seen him yet.
We'll make a video. I got a video for you. But specifically, oh my God, Aaron, this is so inappropriate. I'm so glad you screamed at him.
Yes.
That is, it's one thing to just be like, oh, you know, wave across the street, your neighbor, whatever. I get it. That's being friendly. The note is a bridge too far to be like, do you have a boyfriend? Fuck off.
Also, the only reason he's apologizing is in case you had a boyfriend or a husband, because as we've seen so many times, the only thing a man often cares about is if he's infringing on what he considers another man's property. Yes. Not that he is in a woman's yard that does not belong to him, scared the shit out of her, is being inappropriate, making her feel uncomfortable, but rather, if you had a boyfriend and I overstepped, then apologies. What? Are you kidding me? And then I wouldn't wait on my own porch in the dark and have someone come to the door. That would scare the shit out of anybody.
Mm-mm. Mm-mm. I mean, he's lucky that you didn't punch him in the face or hit him with your bag or whatever.
Or shoot him with the gun that you might end up getting because of this situation. I hate that this dude lives across from you because it's not just a passerby and you're like, okay, mate. I mean, this guy you got to see every day. You called the non-emergency line. I would start calling the emergency line.
Well, and I would also say if in Dallas, at least, and some other Texas places, I don't know where you're at, but see if you can search the county property records. Sometimes you can search the tax rolls or everything is public information to see who owns the house and if it's a rental house. Because the harassment, you might be able to get him evicted. I'm only saying if he continues on this path, because you shouldn't have to live in your house like that and like live in the fear that this jagoff's going to come and hide and wait in the dark in your porch and lie in wait for you. Are you kidding me? Absolutely not. I think your gun comment was not out of line at all, because he shouldn't be waiting on anybody's porch. You're asking for it, man.
He's also obviously watching the house if he knows when certain cars are there and when they're not. And that is, nobody should have to live in fear like that. Your house should be your safe place, your sanctuary. And if a neighbor is making you feel fearful, then sometimes you got to do what you got to do. And that means
call the law. But no, seriously, I think having like going for just 911 and being like, this person has escalated. Like they went from a friendly hello to a letter to coming so close to your porch where they're standing by your front door. We don't like to see the escalation. I think that the camera is a great idea. A photo that's not a photo, like a little sign that's like, smile, you're on camera. The freakier part's going to be if he comes up and starts talking to the camera or something. You know, those are always like Ring doorbell horrors. But hopefully the deterrent factor of like, we're going to get you if you come back over here. Stay the fuck off my porch. And he's been told he's not welcome.
Maybe get a dog.
Yeah, maybe get a dog. But I would say he's been told he's not welcome already. So that, in my opinion, is trespassing immediately if he comes onto your property again. It's been made clear that he is not welcome. It's not like, oh, my doorbell's an invite. It's an invite to anyone except you who's already been put on notice that you're not allowed to be here. So if he keeps fucking around, figure out if it's a rental house and call it in.
And if you do have an update for us, I hope it's that he moved out and mm-hmm. everything's good.
Yeah, for sure.
That's the update that we are hoping for. Well, stay sure. safe out there, Erin. You're correct. Look through your peephole before you go outside.
Mm-hmm. Sinisterhood will be right back.
We all have habits we wish we could break, or maybe even habits that we've tried again and again to stop, but we just can't kick it.
Sometimes it's easier to replace a habit with a new, less dangerous, or more healthy habit. Like my mom always says, a nail drives out another nail.
And that's why we're talking about our sponsor, Fume, today, and how they look at the problem in a different way. Not everything in a bad habit is wrong. So instead of a drastic, uncomfortable change, why not just remove the bad from your habit?
Fume is an innovative, award-winning flavored air device that does just that. Instead of electronics, Fume is completely natural. Instead of vapor, Fume uses flavored air. And instead of harmful chemicals, Fume uses all-natural, delicious flavors.
Fume is a habit you're free to enjoy and makes replacing your bad habit easy. Your Fume comes with an adjustable airflow dial and is designed with movable parts and magnets for fidgeting, giving your fingers a lot to do, which is helpful for de-stressing and anxiety while breaking your habit.
Fume is great. It fits in the palm of your hand. It's got a beautiful design, carved design. It feels nice and hefty. The fidget parts are great. And when you put it in your mouth, the flavor is great. It's fresh tasting, and especially mm-hmm. you can switch out the little flavors, so you can, it's not just all or nothing. You can try out a variety of them, which I like.
Oh, yes.
I like something new.
multi-pack, a sample pack of flavors. Mm-hmm. White cranberry is particularly refreshing. Plus, Fume's just released a magnetic stand for your Fume. You know that we all love a stand for something. Mm-hmm. So it has a designated spot to go. So now there's no more losing it around the house. It's built with fidgeting in mind. You can even spin your Fume around on it. What a fun thing to have on your desk that's helpful for so many reasons.
Oh, absolutely. Start the year off right with a good habit by going to tryfume.com/creepy and getting the journey pack today. Fume is giving listeners of the show 10% off when they use our code CREEPY to help make starting the good habit that much easier. That's tryfume.com/creepy.
Well, this next one, Heather, your daughter's written in.
Hello, sweetheart.
And very sweetly, the subject line is, Sinisterhood saved my daughter's life.
So that would mean it's my granddaughter, if we're doing
that. I suppose it is.
Yeah.
I found your podcast after your collaboration with And That's Why We Drink. I've been a loyal fan ever since. I turned my daughter onto your podcast because the both of us enjoy, for some odd reason, true crime and paranormal stories. We will often get together for brunch and discuss the previous week's episodes. I have to say I'm feeling a bit choked up writing this down, but you guys saved my daughter's life. Or maybe more accurately, constant warnings about watching out for your surroundings and creepy people saved her life. She lives in a town surrounded by bars and restaurants. One night while she was walking home from dinner with friends, she noticed a creepy person walking with her. As she was telling me this, she stopped, very seriously, and said, "Mom, I knew exactly what to do because of the podcasts we listened to." She looked the guy dead in the face and aggressively said, "Do you need something?" He stopped in his tracks, looking shocked, and she felt like maybe this was the end of it. She'd called him out on his creepiness and he would leave embarrassed. That's not what happened. He just got creepier. By the time she reached her apartment, he was approaching her quickly, and she knew he was going to try and get through the front door. So she mustered up all of her badass fight, ready to defend her space and herself. She started yelling and telling him to get out or get away. She made enough of a ruckus that he finally left. She opened up the security gate, ran inside, closed it tightly behind her, and called me. The reason I'm reaching out to you guys is because it's scary to have an adult daughter out in the world who you can no longer protect. And the work you guys are doing is protecting us by making it okay to be loud and scream and fight back. Women are no longer getting the message that they're supposed to be small and polite and quiet. When she called me, she said, "Mom, I wasn't going to let him get me." I can't thank you enough for what you do for all of us. Even if this isn't online, I just needed you to know that your amazing comedic podcast makes my week, but it also saves lives.
I'm crying right now. Because that message of like, you don't have to be small.
Uh-uh. You don't have to be small. And it is a very, you know, I think about this often with my kids of right now, like, you have some semblance of control over, you know, their surroundings, where they go, their safety. But at some point, you do have to, like, just be okay with, like, they have their own life now. They mm-hmm. live somewhere else. They, you know, I'm not constantly seeing them every day and getting updates and stuff. So being able to, like, let you, it's hard to, like, ever let go because you, they're still mm-hmm. your kid.
It's your heart outside your body.
For sure. And it means a lot to think that you as a mom anonymous to your adult child can still feel like you've got a little bit of a safety net, or you feel okay because you know she's going to be okay because she's paying attention mm-hmm. to what people are saying. I saw a very, moving TikTok the other day, which I'm pretty sure I liked, so we can link it. I'm always like referencing these TikToks.
You gotta like them.
I've now just started saving everything because
yeah, I like everything.
It's so
now.
Much easier. Yeah. But, it was from an older woman who, was talking about her experiences as a younger woman starting off in the workplace, and how she was a teacher, and how, like, in her first teaching job, she remembers, like, leaning across a table to get something, and, like, one of the male teachers smacking her on her butt, and, like, that was, like, commonplace, and that mm-hmm. that was just kind of accepted. And then at her next job, like, it was still kind of accepted that, like, women are thought of as less than, and these comments that are made towards them, it's, we just laugh it off. And she was talking about how when she was watching the Golden Globes, how it was so different. It was the first time she ever realized these jokes are still being told by Joe mm-hmm. Coy about, you know, he was taking shots at Taylor Swift and just like taking shots at Barbie, and which was mm-hmm. Talking, you know, in ways.
Like, did you not watch the movie, you dipshit?
Yeah, like, probably not.
Oh no.
And her point was, none of those actors laughed right? or even cracked a smile at the jokes he was making, and then they were later criticized for that. Mm-hmm. Like Taylor Swift was like, "Oh, you can't even, you know, laugh at something that's being said." And Ryan Gosling, when they were talking about mm-hmm. how he was the only one nominated for that movie, in a movie that's all about female empowerment, yeah. the only one that gets nominated is the man.
Yeah, nobody saw the irony in that. But no, that's, you're right, though. I think in the past, people would feel obligated to be like, oh, ha, 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 ha. And now yeah. it's like, well, it wasn't funny, so I didn't laugh. And it's like, and to go back to the previous story, the fact that that note said smile on it, I'll kill you right here where you stand.
No. Kill you. I'll kill you.
No, yeah.
Sir Garthur will come yeah. alive Attack. And rip you limb from limb.
Attack.
But yeah, her point was, we're moving to a space where those things aren't laughed off. And mm-hmm. we're not, you know, it's not okay in the workplace or any place for somebody to hear something like that or do something like that. And we're all just like, ha ha ha, because it's uncomfortable and you don't want to. No, call people out, make them feel uncomfortable. That's how people's behavior changes, or mm-hmm. at least it stops around right. you and it's not happening anymore. So the more people that are like, you don't have to be quiet, you don't have to be small, make a big fucking fuss. This is mm-hmm. your life. You get to live it how you want. Don't let anybody take that from you. More people that say that, I think, will start to get to where you see more of this. You're like an adult and you're like, man, this is different than when I was even a kid. I mean, I'm 45 Truly. And things are different than from when I was in high school by a landslide. We still have ways to go, but I often wish I could go back to my younger self and just be like, shake me. What are you doing letting people talk to you like this? You deserve better.
I'm going to choke myself up, but it caused me to cry on a run one day when I was listening to, I can't remember what song it was, but I was honestly thinking about you. Oh yeah, I'm going to cry.
Wait, can I guess what song it was?
Yes, I'll give you a hint. It's a Taylor Swift song.
Oh, okay. The Man?
Oh, that's a good one. But
that
actually,
song gets me choked up.
That one does make me cry. When I was at the show and the like 10-year-olds next to me were scream singing the lyrics, I was like, a revolution is beginning. but it was actually Long Live, which I really love that song.
Oh, I love that,
that always
song.
Makes me think of you. But
oh, thank you. Really I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. That's my like sweet. Every time it comes on, I'm like, these lyrics like hit. But I was thinking about you, and I was thinking about all the times that you say that where you're like, man, I wish I could go back and I could just shake myself. And I sort of told you about this once before, but I'll share it with all of our friends here, is that like it makes me think of the end of Buffy the Vampire Slayer where she can like take the power, but instead she gives it to everybody. So like you can't go back and like change how you acted, but by how vulnerable you are on the air, and you empower me to be vulnerable, and you empower me to be a stronger person, that I am a close proximity version of what you, the work that you do by what the empowerment that you do for women and for others. And I think we have untold friends that we've made through this, much like my sweet daughter, Anonymous, and her granddaughter, who is, you know...
sobbing right now, which is why I'm not talking.
No, you're fine. But I was going to say, but like, you've instead of... You can't go back in time, right? So you're taking all that power that you would have had, and you would have only been the one to have it, and it's so much more powerful now because you're choosing
every
woman that could be a slayer will be a slayer. So you are...
Damn.
You're making slayers out there, baby.
That's so very sweet, especially since I've never watched Buffy the Vampire Slayer, but I love the ending. Now
yeah,
I know.
Sorry, spoiler alert, but that's the
But same for you. I mean, you've empowered so many people to continue their education, to follow their dreams of going, you know, to law school or to leave a job and do something that they were more passionate about. So thank you. And I echo those same sentiments to you. Long live all of us who we can't go back. And that's a very poetic way to put it. We can't go back, but we can discuss what we've learned to help others make better decisions in their present moment.
I envision women of and people of all ages, all of our friends of all our ladies, gentlemen's, theys, friends, and envies of all kinds. I hope that people listen to this that have ever felt powerless find a way to go, like, I at least have two homies standing behind me, and it's Christy and Heather, and they told me, like our friend on the Judge Christy that said, I talked to a lawyer who talked to a judge, and they said this. So the fact that we can empower people, that's the greatest gift of all, and I want to do this show for a billion years, because if one person's like, get the fuck off my porch, or get away from me, do you need something, can I help you, and teaches somebody that he found the wrong bitch today... that makes me feel good. So thank you all for sending these stories in. For real.
So much. I mean, we've always said the reason if you're watching this on YouTube, you can just see how my makeup is like pouring down my face. We've always said the reason we wanted to start the show was to solve a cold case. And while we haven't done that yet. I feel like we maybe have helped prevent some. Maybe, you know, like,
or just something.
Knowledge and people having better knowledge of like your surroundings and not being afraid to stand up when something doesn't feel right and get yourself out of a situation you feel uncomfortable in, which is exactly what Anonymous's daughter Anonymous did. Anonymous squared.
Junior.
I love it though. And we love when people listen to the show together too, like couples or
sisters, besties.
Kids and their parents. Yeah, that's so. I think we also have to give kudos to, and that's why we drink our homies there too,
dude.
Because they're doing the work as well, and we're so glad that you found us through them. Yes, we love Em and Christine
very much. I'll plug them every single day of my life. They're the best.
They're fantastic and just as nice in person as you would think.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you so much, Anonymous. And please tell your daughter we're so very proud of her. And
tell her Mamaw loves her.
We're super proud of you also, because you raised a kid that knew what they needed to do. And you're part of that too. You listened to those shows with her. That led her to that. So good on you, Mom.
Hell
Mom
yeah.
Anonymous. A mominous.
Sinisterhood will be right back. Well, this next one is also from Anonymous. Hello, darling. And the subject line is victim survivor story, mental abuse. And a content warning, this includes mentions of suicidal ideation and abuse of a minor. Hi, ladies. Can I start by saying just how much I adore you both? Seriously, listening to your passion and how much you care for others and our well-being, I feel like you're my real-life friends. And I've moved your show to my number one listening spot. Well, let's get into it, shall we? I've submitted a couple of stories already. One you read on the show, but this one I'm submitting as anonymous due to the sensitive information. I just listened to your Freaky Friday episode number 75, and you read a story from a woman who was victimized by her boyfriend threatening to harm himself to keep her. This made me cringe, want to vomit, and made my heart race, as I have dealt with this as well. But I was 13 to 16 years old when it happened. My dad's friend slash coworker was 19, and I was 13. Yeah, I didn't know that was wrong at the time. This was the 80s. And he was not only my first boyfriend, but took my virginity at the age of 13. He showered me with gifts and jewelry, we talked on the phone, and I really thought I was the shit to the other girls at our school. I didn't realize what he was doing was wrong, and when things went bad, they went bad. He never hit me. But being in the 80s, no one had cell phones, so I had to be home from school at 3:33, or I'd be in trouble with him. That meant I had to run across the railroad tracks. If I got stopped by the passing train, then I had to find a payphone to call him at work to tell him I was going to be late and why. Then I still got a tongue lashing regardless. I wasn't allowed to wear makeup, shorts, skirts, tank tops, or go with my dad on his motorcycle. I have no idea why not. I missed concerts and family outings because he told me I couldn't go. This lasted 3 years. My mom knew about this and hated it. We got into whispered fights about it, but she didn't intervene because she didn't want to upset my dad by bringing this to light about his friend. I honestly don't blame her. We grew up in a family that didn't talk about things that are uncomfortable. He used to coerce me into staying with him by threatening suicide, and I'd fall for it each time because he would click one of his mini guns so I could hear it. Finally, I went out, pissed, with my friends at the age of 16, met a guy, hooked up with him, and called it off with the boyfriend. He came over and we fought. He left and then called and called and called me all night. The next day, he, once again, threatened to end his life, adding the sound of him cocking his shotgun for added drama. I mustered up the courage and said, "Do it. There's nothing I can say to stop you. I will not get back with you, and I'm just sad your mom will have to find you like that." It ended. He's still alive and was even at the hospital when my dad passed away. Insert anger here, but I ignored him. I am now a woman in my 50s, and as I write this with tears and shaky hands, I am proud to say I don't take shit from a man. I have an amazing husband to support me. He knows my story. I have adult daughters and grandchildren, and in our family, we do talk about stuff, even the uncomfortable topics. My heart goes out to those who still suffer with an abuser. I will pray for them to find their courage. Thank you for this platform, your support, and all your love for us listeners.
Well, again, Anonymous, we thank you for sharing this with us. There's a lot to unpack here. To be so young and so taken advantage of. Mm-hmm. And it says a lot about you that you don't blame your mom and that you seem like you, you know, have forgiven if there was anything there. I'm going to say, though, as a parent, you got to step in. If you don't like it and you don't want to upset, and the 80s were a different time. I get it. But, I think hopefully, like we were just saying, things have changed a bit. Now, if we know that a 19-year-old was dating our 13-year-old daughter, that any of us would step in and be like, "Oh, absolutely not." Especially a friend slash coworker of your dad's. That's makes it extreme. Oh, yeah. A 19 and 13 is a vast difference.
Yeah, it's not like you're oh, I'm a sophomore and he's a junior, or I'm a mm-hmm. sophomore and he's a senior even. It's just like, I am a middle schooler and he's an adult yeah. with a job and he works with my dad.
I'm glad to see this young
generation, it seems like the pendulum has swung to where they're like, okay, weirdo, what are you trying to date a 13-year-old mm-hmm. for? Where it has really, in the 80s, it was like, oh, like she said, you know, you're kind of
trained by society. A badass. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, I have a hot older boyfriend. Isn't mm-hmm. that so cool? And now we're like, oh, those are grooming behaviors. Like mm-hmm. that's extremely abusive to like control your time, control where you go, control what you wear, control, you have to call me by a certain time. It's like, you are not my dad. But the guy that did all this to me when I was 23 and he was 36, but the same thing was like, call me when you get back from work. You need to tell me when to get back from work. Don't hang out with those people. Don't go out. I don't want you to go out to a bar. And then every time of a fight would be like, if you don't break up with me, I'll kill myself. And it was the same thing. It was me going, well, you got to do what you got to do. Bye. Like I finally got. I got over. Like, I mean, I got fed up.
No one should have to put up with that and feel mm-hmm. like guilt. Like if somebody decides to end their life, that blame cannot be pushed onto you. That is their doing. And if someone is saying like, if you do this and I'm going to kill myself, that's abuse. And mm-hmm. you should get out of the relationship. And the added drama and fear of like the guns and even knowing this guy has guns, sounds like several of them. Then that's a whole other level of fear of like, God, well, if I fuck up or don't do what he says, I know he's got a bunch of firearms and he's unhinged.
And a strong correlation between domestic violence and gun ownership, as insofar as those with domestic violence pasts who do own guns, obviously the statistics of violence and especially femicide, like with a gun, is a strong correlation and high. It's mm-hmm. like not everybody that owns guns does domestic violence, but those who do domestic violence shouldn't be allowed to own guns, in my opinion. If you want to keep your gun, don't choke anybody or hit them or do that. That's my opinion. So
absolutely.
I'm glad you got out, Anonymous. That's scary.
I'm so glad you got out. And I'm also so glad and want to commend you on breaking the cycle of mm-hmm. of shying away from uncomfortable stuff. We really try with our children now to like, I feel like to the point where Ella's like, I know, Mom, because I'm always like, Ella, you can tell me anything. I'll always tell you the truth. And we're always like, trust is so important. And that's not to say like my parents, I felt like I couldn't trust them. I just think it was a different time of, I grew up in the 80s versus now of like, it was a different time for everything. The 90s mm-hmm. were different being a girl too. So, you know, it's very important. And I love seeing when like a generation we're like, it stops with us.
Yeah.
like anything that needs to be talked about, we're talking about it no matter how uncomfortable it is. Like, and everybody's going to know too. It's not like, well, we can't tell dad because XYZ. It's like, no, you're both parents. You should share that decision and burden equally. And also like, I think it helps show the kids, like, we're a team. Like mm-hmm. everyone's going to know about what's going on here. So we can mm-hmm. all figure it out as a family.
And we're all here for each other's benefit. And it's not, mm-hmm. I'm not trying to take something away from you. I am seeing a harmful thing that you're, in this case, stuck in. I mean, you know, it's mm-hmm. like when you're 13, you don't know how to navigate someone that is doing complex abuse tactics of like a honeymoon cycle, you know, giving mm-hmm. me a lot of jewelry and nice things and telling me I'm the best and then demanding these things to me. Like, that's such a big issue for a little kid to have to deal with. And
not to mention, you're kind of being forced to be sexually active at such a young age, which is a whole other emotional and mental thing to take mm-hmm. on for anybody, but especially a middle schooler. My God.
Yeah. With some grown up grabbing mm-hmm. at her. Yeah.
And also, even if you're not wanting to ruffle feathers, just think, if I do, maybe the next person doesn't have to go through this. Because I think people like that. You think this 19-year-old, this was the only time he's going to sleep with a minor and abuse mm-mm. somebody? He's very young for that to be a one and done situation.
Yeah, no, especially if he's willing to go to the lengths of like, I'm going to use my gun sound on the phone with her. I don't think this was like a wake up call for him. And he was like, oh, well, I'll stop doing all that. Rarely, right. Especially in that time where in the 80s where it was like, oh, man, she sounds crazy. You know, she's terrible. And it's like, no, she was a kid. What you did was terrible and wrong. Well, you sound like you came out on the other side stronger, and your daughters and grandchildren are lucky to have you. And glad you found an amazing husband that supports you, too.
Awesome.
This next one is from Allie, and the subject line is Lovely Coincidence on Women's Day. Hey, ladies. Firstly, I love Freaky Friday. Thanks for all the stories and witty banter. Such a welcome respite from my typical true crime binging. I had to write in because of a coincidence that occurred while listening to the Freaky Friday episode from March 8th, 2024, International Women's Day. I had to pause the episode to get my thumbs moving so I could send this while it's still fresh in my perimenopausal mom mind. I've been thinking a lot about and missing my mom with abandon lately, especially this week. The 1 year mark of her passing is coming up on March 17th. Yesterday, I sat bawling over a package I had sent to my niece, who has just achieved the amazing milestone of 1 year sober. It included a note of how proud I am of her hard work and accomplishments, little trinkets of mom's, an angel figure, a bunny, a shawl, and about 20 little prayer notes in my mom's, my niece's grandma, Gigi's, handwriting, just for her. I found these notes when we cleaned out my mom's house that we had to sell. Anyway, someone stole her package and she never got it. I was bawling, ugly crying, because I had been holding out hope that somehow mom's spirit or something would figure out a way to get it to my niece. And I was just so distraught to have lost that sense of her and of hope. Maybe I was hoping for a sign. So I'm listening to the Freaky Friday story about the mom and daughter on the Queen Mary as I'm organizing my garden bench outside in the cold. I bent down to move a can of spray paint during your ad for Quince. You said the word premium just as I grabbed the can labeled premium spray paint. So that was just a, funny. And I guess I tuned in a bit extra. The next thing you said was, well, this next one is from Gail. My heart skipped. Gail is my mom's name. Perhaps a sign? Gail went on to share her story and the whisper noise she heard. Daisy. I stopped what I was doing. My mom's absolute favorite flowers are daisies. I don't know, but that did it. I felt a nod from mom. I mean, it's also a ghost story, so maybe the message wasn't meant for that Gail, but by some glitch in the matrix was delayed and meant for me to hear on the pod? Who knows, but this lovely coincidence made my day. Thank you, Gail, the Queen Mary, and Sinisterhood for the sweet Friday vibes. Carry on and keep the freaky coming. Oh, and mom had a thing for flowers, especially homegrown, which she specifically requested for her memorial service in her planning, and we made sure to do, despite it being early spring in northern New England. We also asked people to plant flowers and think of mom when they bloom. So plant some flowers, or at least stop and smell some. With so much gratitude, Allie. P.S. About an hour later, I opened my desk to clean it, and out popped the bulletin from mom's memorial service and a handwritten thank you note from a few years back written on seed paper, the kind you plant and it should grow flowers. A few minutes later, an all-time favorite song popped up on random shuffle of thousands of songs, Peter Gabriel's Shaking the Tree. It's your day, a woman's day. It's a super powerful song about how we don't have to do what's been done before, and it's our day. Attaching the song and lyrics here.
Oh, I loved, Allie, that this happened for you. And, you know, signs, whether they're wherever they come from, I think if it makes you feel better, that's all that matters. You know, I think how we interpret things is up to us. And if this made you feel better, then I think that that's wonderful. And it is interesting. Like, premium? Oh, that's weird. You tune like a little bit more, and then it's like, Gail? Who? Daisies? What?
You're like, Mom?
And we said, like, why would Daisy be said? Remember? We were like, that's not either one of their names. So perhaps, at the very least, it made you feel better, and I think that's all that matters. And finding that little note later, also on flower paper.
Yeah.
Another coincidence.
And that song slaps, the Peter Gabriel Shaking the Tree. I never heard it before. I tuned in and the lyrics are gorgeous.
Yeah. Great for International Women's Day, for all days, but specifically that day.
Absolutely.
Doing what, living your life. Like we said, like you don't have to live the one that your mom led. It's, this one's yours. And do you
make your mark? Well, I was following. It's a new one of those, like, kind of the garlic lady that was like, I call me crazy, but I love fresh pesto or whatever. And then they stitch it. Well, it's Susie. One guy that's like, what's a crazy coincidence or whatever? And that's,
yes, I see one? Those all the time.
Mm-hmm. Those coincidences are wild. And it's some of it is stuff like this where it's like, it just so happened that it was my mom's name and it was her favorite flower. Other ones, it was like a guy was walking down the street and a payphone rung and he answered it and it was his work trying to call him and they're like, I called your home phone, and he's like, no you didn't, and he's like, no you didn't, and they said, yes I did. He said, what number did you call? And she gave him his social security number, and he's like, that's my social. And she's like, oh well, that's weird, why did you answer it? He's like, I don't know, this is a payphone in the street.
Fuck.
Like, what are you stuff like that where
that's wild.
People, like, somebody makes an offhanded joke and then someone goes to that website because they thought it was a joke website, but it was like, her husband goes, a woman was adopted, and he's like, what are you gonna find your family on, adopted.com? And she's like, oh,
I saw that one,
and then went on there and it was like, found her sister. Mm-hmm. So all this kind of there's something going on in this world. We can't explain it. We can't write anything off.
It's the cloud.
We got a little, I'm putting my hands up in the air. There's
that's
some, like,
the cloud.
There's some
it's
cloud.
It's like we talk about in improv
collective
all the time.
Collective consciousness.
You would, in improv, so many times, a night of shows, like multiple shows would go on, and performers not seeing each other's shows or anything, like the same topics would get brought up in shows, or the same, like, themes, or perhaps even like a similar suggestion from an audience member. And it was always like the little improv cloud, and things just kind of drift up into the cloud and then rain back down. But it's all kind of this, like, energy centrifugal force that just moves around us all the time.
Mm-hmm, like a collective consciousness. But well, shout out to Gail. I hope everybody find some beautiful homegrown flowers, looks at them, cuts them if they're yours. Don't cut your neighbor's flowers, but stop and take a sniff of them in Gail's memory.
And I love that so many of our Freaky Friday stories, like, intertwine. Mm-hmm. Like, strangers will be like, I heard this one and it made me think of this. And, like, we're all helping each other heal.
Look at that. Thanks. And also, shout out for mom and daughter sending that Queen Mary story into us, because it gave Allie something that she didn't know she needed. So this is what you do when you send your Freaky Friday story in and let us tell it, is you might help somebody else. Y'all are doing the work. We're just here talking.
Yep. We're just here talking and crying.
Just sobbing. Sinisterhood, we'll be right back. Well, this last one's from Stephanie, and the subject line is The War of the Squirrels.
It's a good one to end on for one that's been a rather emotional one.
Stephanie writes, hello, I wanted to share this story as a when we have really nasty content and we just need a mental break from everything type of story. So here it is, the beginning. So it started when my family and I were at a local state park here in Pennsylvania. My dad was in the woods grabbing some leaves and small sticks to throw into the fire when, crack, us turning and we see him holding his head, saying colorfully worded language, and a squirrel running away in the treetops. My mom, running over, found an acorn on the ground. I remember hearing the squirrel laughing away. Later in that trip, some raccoons got into our food, and my dad tripped over a tiki torch and caught the tent on fire. Minimum damage, but we could no longer use the tent. More squirrels chirping away at us all the time. Like I said, this is the beginning. The war. So, we went to two state parks in our area a lot. One was to the south, 40 minutes away. The other, 40 minutes to our north. In both locations, squirrels and chipmunks would go after my dad. Now, it wasn't always my dad. Sometimes it was my mom or any other family member who came to visit. Throwing acorns, making noise, and even working together to take food and other goodies away. Working with birds, more raccoons, and once, even a bear. The home front. Now, it wasn't just at the parks. Oh, no. It also happened at home. Once we got a camper, one of those pop-up ones, we thought we were safe. Oh, no. We were so wrong. First winter, we had to get a new mattress because chipmunks and mice lived in them. Then, the next year, and many years after, was the awning. Mothballs be damned. The ceasing. I believe I was around 8 when this war started, and it didn't slow down till I was maybe 15. A long fucking time, I know. Every year, without fail, those damn squirrels would go after my dad. Then, it just kind of stopped. Now, they go to different parks, different campers, and different dogs. The animals always left the dogs alone. Sometimes, we still hear their war calls, but nothing more than that. The today. Today, my dad misses them fuckers. We tell stories on how they would throw stuff at the tents, and later the campers, but only on his side. It was easy to know which side he was on since he snores. We talk about how one took a raw bone from our dog, Chance, and ran away with it. How still, sometimes my dad still jumps at the smallest of noises. For a long time, we had that acorn that hit my dad. I'm not sure what happened to it. Maybe it's still there somewhere. Or maybe my dad tried to give it back as an offering of peace. My brother and I still make funny faces when we hear a squirrel. My husband, for a while, had tangoed with the squirrels, too. It was a rite of passage, my dad told him. Thankfully, my sister-in-law didn't have to go through that. When you feel down about all the evil in this world, when we read, see, hear, and face the purest of darkness, on those days where many died because of madmen, on a day we actually see how corrupt the systems can be, I really hope my story about the War of the Squirrels brings a small glimmer of hope, a small laugh, and a sigh of comedy relief. Now, I leave you with a quote from Lord of the Rings that I feel fits this so well. It is a strange fate that we should suffer so much fear and doubt over so small a thing. Such a little thing. Boromir. Love you and your wonderful podcast, and hope to go to another live show soon. Steph. Boromir. The small things he was talking about was squirrel throwing an acorn.
Oh, obsessed. I had to mute myself because I didn't want to laugh over the story.
Oh, laugh as much as you want.
To have been a squirrel in a tree, to watch other squirrels and raccoons and a bear all coordinate efforts.
They're like, seize him!
Et tu, Brute!
They got him. I'm sad for Chance that he got fucking cucked by a squirrel, that the squirrel stole his bone. It's so sad.
Damn. And
that's shame right there.
A bone is like the size of a squirrel. Strong ass squirrels.
I just imagine squirrels that are like they look like Dwayne the Rock Johnson squirrels. Like, they're huge, jacked up, like they're fucking big. Ready to fight.
You knew it was gonna be a story when you trip over a tiki torch and you light your family's tent on fire.
So sorry.
Straight out of Curb Your Enthusiasm. I'm going camping in a couple of weeks.
You are
with Ellis School, and now I've got a new fear that this might happen.
Don't fight the squirrels. I like that the squirrels, too, maybe it was just, like, snoring related, that they were like, we're trying to have some peace and quiet in the fucking woods. Wait, shh, listen to the sound. That's the man. Get him. Like, that's how, there wasn't anything your dad did except his sounds. And they were like, we got to put an end to this. Call in the bear.
The bear. You got to find that acorn and put it in a shadow box and hang it on the wall.
Yeah,
it needs a plaque like underneath it.
A cube, like a glass cube with a gold engraved plaque that's like the relic of the great squirrel wars of the whatever year was, 1990, whatever. Yeah, that's too much. The visual of the raccoons going after the food and then setting the tent on fire got me good.
Last time I went camping, the last time we went, it was armadillos. The time
that,
it was raccoons. Every time there's like a certain nocturnal creature that comes out once the sun's gone down.
It's coming out.
It's just you in the fire pit out there. And all of a sudden you turn on your flashlight to go out and cop a squat. Mm-hmm. And there's just a bevy of armadillos. Or,
they're just waiting for you.
Yeah. The biggest raccoons I've ever seen in my life. Like, the size of a small bear cub.
They're beefy.
It's huge.
Get you some pictures of them. Yeah, see if you can get some woodland creatures we can share with Steph from your camping trip.
I'll try.
While you're camping, I'm going to be Martha.
I got videos of armadillos last time.
Oh, you did?
I do have those.
Oh, yeah,
you did. And they're so blind that you can get really close to them, and they don't really know. So everybody would just be sitting there. The kids were in the tents. The parents would stay up. And you just hear all this rustling, and you would shine a flashlight out into the woods, and there's just like dozens of armadillos.
Adillo clan.
They eat the bugs, which there were a lot of bugs, so I was happy for them.
Did you get to see them jump up in the air? You can't startle them, and they'll jump straight up in the air.
I don't think I saw any jump. We kept a respectful distance from them.
Good.
We just were letting them eat all the mosquitoes and shit that were out there.
Right. It's like, how can we attract more of them? I would like an army of armadillo, an army of dillos to just march forth and defeat the mosquito hordes. That's what we need.
Yes.
You need to get that owl in your backyard. We'll get some armadillos down on the ground, plus petal. It's unstoppable. Animals can band together. I believe it. I believe Stephanie's story because I think
they talk to each other.
Mm-hmm.
They do. Yeah.
They absolutely talk to each other.
There's been an owl sighting in my backyard, and I didn't get my owl house up in time. I was supposed to get it up by the end of February. I'm going to get it up ASAP because we have both heard and seen an owl in the backyard. So I feel like it's wanting to make a little home around there.
Attract
then we got to get John Hopper back. Then I feel like if I have an owl, a frog, crows, and a pig in my yard, that I feel like I'm just granted some kind of wand.
You're a character in a kid's book for sure. Yeah. It's like the witch of North Dallas or whatever. It's like she has all of these, her familiars in her yard, and they all do different things, and they talk to each other.
They do.
They communicate. Yeah. They communicate.
They do. They communicate.
Well, thank you for this hoot of a story, Steph.
It was, yes. And I'm sorry they left your dad alone and that it bummed him out. It sounds like he'd kind of gotten used to them, that they were, you know, it's something that might be a nuisance, but it's also kind of funny because it's happening to you and you're like, you feel a bit chosen.
I'm the squirrel guy. Tell him to carry some nuts around in his pocket. Maybe it'll attract him. Shaking his nuts. The ones in his pocket.
My mom feeds
Yes.
Peanuts or whatever kind of nuts they like. Acorns, not peanuts, but I was thinking peanuts because crows like peanuts, and my mom feeds the crows that have now, there's a murder in her yard every day.
It runs in the family.
They wait for her. And the other day, she sent me a picture from her front door, and she's like, I was late getting the peanuts out, and a murder of crows were just making their way up to the front door,
like
waiting for her on the sidewalk.
Excuse us, peck, pardon me, I don't mean to bother you, but we were waiting for the peanuts.
The peanuts, it's time for the peanuts.
The crows talk with a transatlantic accent, or a mid-Atlantic accent, what is that? Hello there, how's it going? Like 1940s, didn't she have some like babies were buried, like baby animals? There was like
turtles.
A nest, baby turtles were in her yard, that's what it was.
Turtles were buried in her yard, and the ducks used to come down to her yard quite a bit, too.
It runs in the family, it sounds like. This is something that it runs in the family that you guys attract exotic animals. Y'all need a support group with Steph's dad.
Well, thank you, Steph, and thank you, Steph's dad, and the squirrels, and to everybody that sent in your Freaky Friday stories today. They made us laugh, cry, and just feel good. So thank you so much. If you have an odd but true story, maybe you've encountered Bigfoot, you've seen a UFO, you had a brush with true crime, or you felt the presence of an otherworldly being, send them in at sinisterhood.com/Freaky Friday. If you like our free episodes, you'll love our Patreon bonus content. You can join for free to see what we're up to next, or dive into over 800 hours. We got all sorts. We've posted like 4 things in the past week. There's a lot of stuff up there right now.
Yeah, my sickness was your treasure trove of content that all came out at once. Sorry about that, but you're welcome. We got a true crime headlines with all kinds of mind-boggling headlines and stories in that. We also have an Am I the Asshole with a baby name debacle, which has turned out to be pretty funny.
Oh, man. Didn't know that somebody would actually name their kid this. But
that name's on the table. We also have an upcoming live Q&A. Our February one just happened last week, and you can watch the replay of that. And the one for March will be happening on March 27th at 8 p.m. Central. It's a Wednesday night, so join us. You can also head to sinisterhood.com and click shop on the top banner to check out merch like t-shirts, mugs, totes, stickers, and even clothes for your kiddos. Don't miss our Believe and Be Kind Flatwoods Monster shirt designed by our junior researcher, Ella, as well as our clearance of our tour merch. It's on a deep discount right now, and you can use your Patreon discount code. So go to the pin post and Patreon to get those codes, and then head over to sinisterhood.com and click shop on the top banner to get them shirts on clearance, baby, before they run out. Sizes and quantities are limited.
While you're on our website, you can also review the show, follow us on socials, and check out the episode description. You'll also find fun things like topic-based playlists and links to live show tickets.
You can follow us on Instagram and Threads at Sinisterhood Pod and like us on Facebook at Sinisterhood. You get full video episodes of the Wednesday episodes as well as clips from Freaky Friday on our YouTube channel and our TikTok, both at Sinisterhood Podcast. And if you want us to create a custom video of our own for you, go to cameo.com and search Sinisterhood. Someone asked me to put on the Corn Skull costume and I will fucking do it. If it's your birthday or your
best
birthday,
she already did, folks.
Do it again.
Don't threaten her with the good time.
Don't threaten me with a good time. I straight just put that I put it in my car and drove it to Christy's house. We've had recent requests for the ephemera in the studio. So the Moon Man made an appearance, McGruff made an appearance, a Popple. But I have a Lucifer head. I'll put a Lucifer head on for you. Whatever you want, just let us know on Cameo and we'll make it happen for you at cameo.com/sinisterhood. Where can folks find you online?
I am on Instagram and Threads at Christy M. Wallace and TikTok at Christy or GTFO. Heather?
I will post my King Arthur video. I'll post it on the show thing as well, but I'm pretty much everywhere on the internet at Heather versus the World.
As always, the devil rules the airwaves.
Keep it creepy.
Sinner.